Welcome to the Friends with Opinions podcast, episode 21. We got a bonus edition. We're going to change it up a bit of a new era for the Friends with Opinions podcast. We're talking basketball with my good friend, Varun Bathini. I grew up with Varun playing street hockey on the main streets of Twin Brooks, South Central Edmonton, and we're both huge basketball fans, taking in the Warriors-Clippers match, and we had this impromptu, fun podcast we did for you, so thanks for listening. Hey, Varun, thanks for joining me, bud. Joining the podcast for the first time.
Buddy, great to be here in this beautiful city of yours.
Absolutely. We got the ocean view. We got the mountain view. What do you want, huh? We got the city view.
it's great to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you. We're entrenched in this basketball game we're watching here at Golden State Warriors versus LA Clippers. What's your hot reaction to Kevin Durant just going apeshit on these guys?
You know, it just speaks volumes as to how great Kevin Durant is. And I think we forget that he really should be in that conversation of best NBA player right now. Like,
absolutely.
When we talk about, you know, if I were to start a franchise right now, who would I want? I mean, I think you have to, Giannis in that list.
Yeah.
And I think you have to put KD in that list too.
I think absolutely. And I think Kevin Durant, he's won the championship. Sure. People say that he jumped on the bandwagon, went to Golden State. I think you're one of these guys.
I am.
That we're hating on for this weak sauce move. You agree with Stephen A. Smith on that one. But, I mean, right now the conversation, I think we got to change the narrative here. It's constantly MJ versus LeBron. MJ versus LeBron.
Yeah.
But with LeBron not in the playoffs, we're not going to be talking about LeBron as much as we have in the past.
Absolutely.
And this is Durant's time to shine. This is his time to basically tell the world, no, the conversation should be KD versus LeBron.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I definitely am one of those guys that, you know, completely think that he shouldn't have joined Golden State. He could have done something on his own. But he's come here, and you know what? He has still asserted himself as one of the best players in the NBA. And, you know, two finals MVPs, two championships. Like, you can't fault the guy, I guess, for all that.
An MVP. And the thing about him is just the unique combination that he brings. So we've seen guys, maybe not that many, obviously, right? They're seven-footers with the long arms.
Yep.
The ability to handle the ball, the ability to move. Like, he moves like a guard out there.
Absolutely. That's obvious.
Everybody knows that. On the other end, he can block shots, he can anchor the paint for you.
He's got the triple threat every time.
Yeah.
Every single time. So he's very hard to guard, to defend. And I think that's another thing. His defensive abilities are also, I think, sometimes underrated.
Yes, I agree. And when he came to Golden State, I think if you recall back when the Warriors were playing the Thunder before Golden State signed him. Mm-hmm. So when they eliminated him and they gave up the 3-1 lead there.
Yeah, yep.
I think Durant, that series, really took his defense to another level.
Totally.
It elevated his defense. And Steve Kerr has said that they kind of saw what he could be defensively at his peak from that series. And then he brought that to them when they were winning championships.
Absolutely. And I think, and that was part of the reason why I was so upset with his move, you know, initially on when I look back at it. Because they were up 3-1 and he was so good and they just gave up that lead. But then I saw Russell Westbrook this playoff series, and then I realized, you know what? He was not wrong to leave at all. He had to
Wow, an about face from Bathini.
All right. So, you know, did he have to join Golden State? No.
Not necessarily.
But he had to get out of OKC. You know what? And I think you said it before, Westbrook, amazing fantasy player, but toxic for your team.
Toxic. And the thing is, and even I was loving Dame dropping the wisdom on him.
Oh, yes.
It's not even knowledge. It's a wisdom.
Yeah.
That don't be so braggadocious. He's the thing with Westbrook that I think gets in his way. Nobody questions his talent.
Yeah.
Nobody questions his ability.
Right.
Nobody questions his drive.
Yeah.
But it's the ego factor.
Oh, my goodness.
That gets into it. Whether it's, you know, having to take the most shots on the team.
Yeah.
Having to be the guy who's kind of, you know, strong enough to take whatever shot is necessary.
Yeah.
The Kobe mentality, you know, Mamba mentality. Just keep shooting, keep shooting.
Right.
And being that alpha dog on the team, right?
Like, let's be honest.
The thing is, he's not bringing the smarts to it.
That's right.
That you need.
Like, Paul George was better in this series. And he should have been the top dog and been the go-to. and he wasn't. It should have been probably George's possession on most shots.
Yeah.
Right?
And why is it taking so long for them to figure this out? I know that George kind of took a step, so to speak, this year to be in the MVP conversation that he hasn't always been in. But I think it's pretty clear that George has to be the top dog. And Westbrook needs to play to his other strengths of setting people up. I mean, he gets those triple doubles. He gets assists. He gets rebounds.
He led the league in assists this year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why not focus on that? Why not go Rondo on everybody and get like 15 assists a game? And then get like, he could probably get 20 points if he just focuses on getting layups.
Absolutely.
And that's it. Just layups. It's all, the whole game is layups and threes. He can't really hit threes. So just get layups all day.
But I think it's just gone too far with him being the main guy and being his team. And I think that, you know, he signed this monstrous contract. He committed to OKC. They've let him do whatever he wants when it comes to media stuff and say whatever he wants. And I feel like he thinks he's untouchable.
Yeah, I agree. And if you kind of compare it to when LeBron joined the Miami Heat and Dwayne Wade situation, Dwayne Wade was the man. It was his franchise. And they kind of clashed that first year. Yeah. They couldn't get it done. But what allowed them to go over the hump?
Dwayne Wade stepped back. He took a step back. And I think Westbrook has to do the same. And I just think that he's just not that type of person.
Yeah, and I don't think he is either. And like, why should we expect him to change his ways now?
Yeah.
Because Wade, at least by the second year, he figured it out.
Right.
This is the second year already. These guys have been paired together. And not just that. Like, he doesn't need Paul George as an example. He's already gone through these experiences with Kevin Durant as well. It's the same old narrative.
Absolutely.
You look at the final game there. Wasn't Paul George like over? Like I saw a graphic of that game, and sure, it's just one game, but the rest of the team was like shot like 65%.
Yeah.
And then Russell Westbrook shot like 33%.
It was abysmal.
It's like
abysmal.
That is just so plain as day. You're the problem in this game, at least.
The thing is that I truly believe he does not care about championships. He does not care about championships. I really feel. He wants the personal accolades more.
Yeah.
He wants, you know, when the media was questioning him about his performances and everything like that, you know, all he brings up is that, you know, who had the most assists this league in the season? Who averages a triple-double and makes it, you know, like, you know, Oscar Robertson-esque? Yeah. So he just cares about his stats, his numbers. He's going to come back and, you know, he's going to have that drive to be the best that he can be. But the thing is that he has to have the drive to be what's going to make the team the best. What's going to make us get a championship? What's going to get us over the hump?
Yeah.
And it's not him doing a triple-double every day. Every game.
Exactly. And even if he's going to get a triple-double, like maybe just cut back on the points.
Exactly.
And it's not even really the points. Like you can get all the points
shot selection. It's the shot selection. It's just not high percentage shot. And if somebody else is feeling it, you got to give the ball up to them.
Yeah, exactly. So, so I totally agree that Kevin Durant was very wise to make that decision.
Yeah.
I was listening to a Ringer pod recently with my boy Kevin O'Connor. And he made a great point about how the decision, when we look back at Oklahoma City, when they lost out on Harden.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was a boneheaded trade to get rid of James Harden, right?
Yeah.
But you looked at the situation, and the way that the media kind of painted at that time was Ibaka and Harden were both up for contracts.
Yeah.
So it was sort of a choice between the two.
Right.
And they figured, okay, they already had a lead guard in Westbrook.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a bit redundant, whereas Ibaka, you know, front court, brings the blocks, etc.
Yeah.
So they went with that choice, which obviously was a bad choice. But looking back on it, I mean, maybe it would still have been a bad choice, but maybe the fatal flaw in the fatal error they made was picking Westbrook over Harden.
Yeah.
Imagine they would have, because at that time, Westbrook would have had a ton more value. So who knows who they could have added if they traded him.
Could you imagine KD and Harden?
Yeah.
The way they are right now?
Exactly.
It would be unstoppable.
Yeah. It would be unstoppable. Yeah. Like the two of them?
Exactly.
Like that was the true travesty, splitting those two up.
I feel like Harden, you know, as much as he is also criticized for his shot selection and maybe the amount he needs the ball. So Harden and Westbrook can't coexist on the same team. But I think a Harden and Durant could have been phenomenal.
Yes, absolutely. But nobody talks about that. Nope, I just heard that recently on the Ringer Network. And
keep in mind, he was coming off the bench. He was the sixth man.
Triple double for Draymond Green in this game, huh?
You know, Draymond. I think I'm just biased because of my fantasy. He is, like you said, the heart of this team, and heart doesn't count for any points.
I didn't say that. You said that. This happens all the time. We are debating with guys, and it's just like, oh, you said this, and you said that, and it's just like, I didn't say that. You just are painting me as being like on a certain side.
No. You're on the Draymond side. I think he's overrated. He's probably one of the most overrated players in the NBA.
I think maybe I was a bit higher on him years ago, but I think this year, just winning, it kind of softens you up a bit, and he doesn't seem to have that fire. Like, you look at Montrezl Harrell on the Clippers. He's like a dog. He reminds me of Draymond like 4 or 5 years ago, right? But now you think Draymond would relish the chance to go at him. I mean, maybe he thinks he's below him and his ego's in the way there as well, but you would have thought he would have just beasted against him. It doesn't seem like he's doing that.
I agree. Can you explain something to me? Why do these players, these Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, who put up arguably the best numbers in the game, why do they come off the bench?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. The Clippers, who do they have in front of them? Like, they have Shai Gilgeous. I think Shai Gilgeous is smart to have him in that starting role. And Lou Williams... Like, what's wrong with excelling in your reserve role?
I don't know. I just feel like, do you want these guys to have more playing time? Or is it that they're that ignition, that they're the spark off the bench? Like, I just don't get it. Like, if they're the best player, why are they not your starter?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe if you did put them in starter role, they wouldn't perform the same amount, because they're not necessarily facing the best players on the other team at the time.
That being said, look what happened to Harden.
Yeah. That's exactly right, yeah.
So
I guess Lou Williams has been around for a while. In his case, I think, I'm not sure, but Montrezl Harrell, it seems like this year kind of came out of nowhere.
He's really come.
But I think the Clippers are a really interesting team, and I think they're an up-and-coming team. And the key to it for me, is Jerry West. Like, this guy is like a basketball savant. One of the best
minds in basketball.
Absolutely. I don't care who the GM is. I don't care who the coach is.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as he joined the Clippers and left the Warriors, I was like, okay, watch this team.
Absolutely.
And it's been savvy move after savvy move. It's just been amazing. Like, Blake Griffin, they've got all these assets. Chris Paul was leaving in free agency for free.
Yeah.
That's where they got Montrezl Harrell from.
Amazing.
And Lou Williams.
You're absolutely right.
And
that's who we're talking about right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
So, and he was literally leaving for free, for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jerry West is just... And then capitalizing on Tobias Harris and getting this Landry Shamet, who is quite a player. And he just... Looking at the Warriors, in my opinion, he's... has a huge part to play in building that team, but
absolutely.
He just finds players who know how to play basketball. They can play defense.
Yeah.
They can shoot. They can do all these things. And this is one of the points I wanted to mention about KD that separates him. We were talking about how he has all the other tools and the defense and the handling and all that stuff, but it's just that being that dead-eye shooter
absolutely.
Is what makes him great. That's what makes him elite.
We were just commenting on, they looked like Clippers were coming back. They were making a run. They were closing that gap. And he comes in and just nails that shot. Nice off-balance footer, probably 20-foot jump shot. Gets the foul and one. Just crushes the momentum right there. Do you know what I mean? Like, just makes those clutch shots and makes it look easy.
Yeah, exactly. Just makes it so easy. And it's like, who can contend with him in terms of like getting in front of him and having the long arms?
Absolutely.
I think Kevin Durant, I think, is if they win the championship, which obviously are the heavy favorites.
Heavy favorites.
And he would be the heavy favorite to win MVP
again.
Third year in a row. So I think the conversation is going to have to change to who's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
I think, last year, it's fair to say everybody agreed it was LeBron.
Yeah.
I think the conversation comes down to Giannis and KD, but I'm very much a resume guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really so much as care that you have that potential. Like, you have to, at the end of the day, you have to earn it. You have to prove it.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't won the championship, and even you haven't even played in the playoffs all that much and even had too many runs, Giannis is still a little bit of a baby,
He is. But what he's doing, what he's done this year, and I don't think many people really put Bucks in that Eastern Conference, category. Everybody's talking about the Sixers and the Raptors, and they were kind of being mentioned, but not really. He's dominant. And he's dominant to the point what Shaquille O'Neal did.
That's what that's the comparison. Right? That's like, kind of like, I was surprised to hear that. But
you know how many dunks he gets in a game?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, yeah. His points in the paint is crazy. And it's Shaquille O'Neal on steroids, right? Because he's athletic. He can hit that shot.
He can pass.
It's amazing. Now, Shaquille O'Neal was actually a really good passer, too. But...
But not like 6-7 assists a game.
Absolutely. So I actually love the Bucks. I think they're a really fun team to watch.
Yeah.
And you know, I take to your point of we should go out and see these guys when we can. Yes. And you know when? Ticket prices are low.
Yes.
And these franchises are just still, you know, a pretty small market team.
Speaking of which, just last year, so not this season, but last season, the lady and I went to Portland to catch a game, the closest NBA city.
Yeah.
And who did we see? Giannis.
There you go.
So
you
this saw guy.
And was, Dame. You saw them both.
I saw Dame. And then this year, actually, interestingly, we went and saw Anthony Davis. Because I was like, if Anthony Davis joins the Lakers next year,
yeah,
it's going to be super pricey to see him.
Totally.
And he's one of these you know, unicorn type players that you got to see.
I agree.
And interestingly enough, in that game, he like sprained his thumb.
Yeah.
And then after that, he was out for a prolonged time. And during that time that he was on the sidelines is when Maverick Carter, your boy Maverick Carter, came out and, you know, made the trade requests and everything like that. And then everything kind of went to shit. So
yes,
that was kind of his last like game of having that innocence, you know, with the Pelicans.
Yeah.
So it was kind of neat to see that there. I actually was hoping that they'd trade him, because then I could say I went to his last game as a Pelican.
Yeah, exactly.
But in some ways they did.
They kind of did.
So some days they did.
Yeah. Now, do you think he's ending up in, to be honest, I think Boston's got the best shot in terms of a trade for him.
Yeah.
You think he's ending up in Boston? Do you think he's going to end up in LA? What do you think? I feel like LA gave them everything they basically had. They basically gave him their team and their bench, everybody besides LeBron, and they still said no.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a spite factor there, and I don't know if it's, you know, you hear, obviously, what happened with Magic Johnson, and you hear that, like, Rod Pelinka as an agent, you know, butted heads and, you know, rubbed people the wrong way as an agent. That might have been a burn some bridges.
Right.
And it's just the Lakers thing, too, right? Like, even with the Spurs and Kawhi, like, you know, they would have asked for, like, the whole boathouse for Kawhi from the Lakers, because the Spurs have a rivalry with the Lakers.
Yeah.
And Popovich isn't going to just hand over Kawhi to the Lakers, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So there's just like something about not wanting to be the team that helps out. Like when there's a franchise in any league, even if it's a fantasy pool, and there's one team that just keeps winning time after time, after a while, if you see people trading like... making good trades for that person, you're like, are you an idiot? Like, we're chasing this team.
That's true.
You know, in terms of the all-time championships, people are chasing the Lakers.
Yeah.
So, do they want to, you know, help them out? No, right? So,
I know, but
and then with the whole thing of, like, just this sleazy nature of it.
Yeah.
And just kind of, I think once you kind of cower to that player that one time.
Yeah.
Now, you know, every other player has you by the balls.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
So you can't, as an organization, you can't necessarily, like, maybe you get it done eventually, you draw it out a bit, maybe you make it a bit painful.
Right.
But if you just do whatever they want, then in the future, I feel like it kind of sets a bad tone for your franchise.
Agreed, agreed. So I feel like they had to make a stand, and which they did. But in doing so, I don't know, you know, the Lakers put together a pretty good package for him.
Yeah, well, how about now, though? Because, like, I mean, this Brandon Ingram, so I had Brandon Ingram in a keeper league. I drafted him. I believed in him. I thought he'd become, you know, Kevin Durant light is what they were saying in the draft and whatnot. And he's had, like, some stretches he can score. Like, that before he got injured this year, he had, like, quite a stretch where he was, like, averaging 27 points a game.
Yeah.
But the thing, you know, again, we see the fantasy stuff, but honestly, it translates to the real life, because he doesn't get the steals. He doesn't get the blocks. He's not shooting threes that you need to do in today's game. And that's with his length, that's what you got to do. And so there's just kind of limited aspects, but he's still so young.
Yeah.
But my concern, if I was another team trying to trade for him, is this blood clot issue that he had. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, actually, I actually haven't heard about
that. Yeah, so he basically had, like,
that's what's knocked him out for the rest of the season, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know exactly like what the condition it is and what the severity is.
Yeah.
But you recall Chris Bosch.
Yeah.
You know, his career was basically cut short. I mean, even now,
yeah.
I don't think he's openly accepted that it's over.
But it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
So I think, as far as I understand, I think it's like, you know, they could potentially play and be fine, but yeah. then they have to be on blood thinners, and yeah. the risk of them
yeah.
basically any kind of cut and then bleeding out and the image for the NBA
yeah.
is a total no-go.
Absolutely. And now, in fairness, I think Ingram's clot was a bit more superficial, and also in his situation, the Lakers weren't making the playoffs.
Larry so. David is in the back there. I love it.
I love it.
I feel like I'm watching Kirby at the same time as well.
Now, you want to talk about Katie Light. Let's talk about Pascal Siakam.
Wow, what a player. What a
player, okay? You want to talk about Katie Light? This man is Katie Light.
Yeah. You think so?
I think
Does
so.
Does he hit the threes, though?
He is definitely extending his range. He hits the long two, and I think he will extend that to the three.
You think so?
In the offseason. Absolutely.
And he has shown a propensity to keep improving.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a key thing about just professional athletes in general, is that the truly great ones just constantly improve.
Absolutely.
And they don't ever rest on their laurels. No. So,
and that's one thing where I have to give it to LeBron. You know, he, as much as we, you know, I do hate on him sometimes for his, the way he
compares himself to MJ.
He's outspoken about his coaches. He's very, you know,
manipulative,
abusive to his teammates sometimes. Truthfully, I don't think a lot of players want to play with LeBron.
That's the narrative that's developing. A lot of players don't want to act with LeBron either, but is what we're hearing.
In fairness, he's come into this league. He's constantly improved his game. He's always been a dominant force. Look at his draft class.
Yeah.
Look at his draft class. Yeah. Dwayne Wade, retiring.
Done.
Carmelo Anthony was done how many years ago?
Yeah, he's been washed up, unfortunately. Exactly. And now he's leaning into it. The chance he's going to come out of it are slim.
Slim. And so, you know, you have to give it to him. He is still, you know, we talked about how we have to talk about Giannis and KD. But yes, we still have to put LeBron in that conversation. But I you know, back to our original point, I think we don't talk about other players as much. And it's kind of nice to not see LeBron in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So we can actually focus on some of these other players.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to kind of wrap up the discussion about KD as well. And we were talking earlier about what he's going to do this offseason. So it's just the reports are just too steady. Like, there's a steady diet of it. Can they just say it once and then we can just wait until July 1st and find out?
They love talking about it. I don't understand. It's like, they love it.
We know. There's reports that he's going to go to the New York Knicks, okay? And so, what is your take on that? You know, because you were critical of him going to the Warriors. But would you applaud such a move?
You know what? I truthfully would applaud such a move. I feel like, you know what? He could probably cement his narrative as one of the greatest in the game if he goes to a
Maury-bound franchise?
Yes, exactly. A Maury-bound franchise and just turns them around. Now, they may be gifted Zion, which could potentially skew things a bit, but if he goes there and really turns that franchise around and he is the true leader, now granted he's probably the best player on the Warriors, but you're still going to a team that won 73 wins in a season.
Yeah.
So I feel like if he went to the Knicks and really took him, he has the advantage of being in the East and could easily do the same thing that LeBron did, which carry a bunch of misfits to the final. He could do the same thing. And I think that even if he doesn't win, even if he gets him there, I think, how is he different than LeBron then?
What does that mean, though, gets them there? To the playoffs or to the finals?
To the finals. To the finals. I think we don't talk about players and make them that elite status unless they get to the big dance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's made it, but you mean like on his own?
On his own.
So, yeah, I mean, just as a fan, like, I think that would be exciting. And, I'd love to see him on the Knicks. And what he could do is just, like, the undisputed number one option. I mean, exactly. I think he's the number one option right now. We all know that. But at the end of the day, it's still Steph's team.
It's still Steph's team. And he's still got such a good supporting cast. It's hard to say. It is his team. But really, if he wasn't playing, you could argue the Warriors would be almost as good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think just a quick narrative on the Warriors. I want to talk more about the Knicks, but I almost like the Warriors more if KD leaves as well.
Actually. Oh, absolutely.
Because I was actually, I was a Steph Curry fan from, back in 2011.
And he changed the game.
Yeah, he changed the game.
Like, look at college sports now. Look at the way they play. People are just
look at the NBA.
Look at the NBA. They're just coming up and hucking up threes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is all Steph Curry.
Absolutely.
Regardless of not whether you want to consider him one of the best in the game, he's probably been one of the most influential to the game that we've seen in a very long time. He has crafted that ability to do what Dame did.
Yeah.
To take that 37-foot deep three and make that a reasonable shot.
Yeah, exactly. And, Dame obviously can do it really well. He proved that. But, Curry, I feel like, did set the table for those types of shots.
Absolutely.
For people to consider, okay, that is a good shot.
Because absolutely.
It's Steph Curry because it's Dame Lillard, right?
Absolutely.
And I think the Warriors, they were a 73-win team without him.
Yeah.
And they had a certain Cinderella story when they did win their first championship.
Yes.
And people didn't expect it. And that's when I was really, liked them the most,
Yep.
And they're kind of an underdog story. And obviously, they'll never be that. But we can kind of see Curry step up, and now this game's over and the Warriors, save the date with the Rockets in the second round. Obviously, that's going to be potentially the series of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But KD ended up with an even 50 points tonight.
Yeah.
Six threes, I think six rebounds, five assists, and he had a tour de force. But I think with KD there, Curry's very wise to have him come on board and to take a backseat to KD because he wants to win championships. But we're not seeing the highest potential of Steph Curry with KD there as well. Like, Steph Curry could potentially be dropping 40 a game as well. Like, look at what James Harden is doing.
Absolutely.
I kind of think Curry could do it. I mean, he does have,
he has done
the
it.
Ankle issues as well.
That season where he set the record for most three-pointers, he was doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think, and they'll probably have a little bit of motivation that people are going to be like, oh, you lost KD, you can't win.
Yep.
And, they won the championship, they had the 73-win team, and if not for, an all-time performance by LeBron and Kyrie, they were winning the championship,
absolutely,
right? So
absolutely.
I think they're fully going to be contenders next year. That'd be great. But I do wonder, though, if it, you look at LeBron this year with the Lakers and he went in and, I think they had, better, quote-unquote, sexier prospects, young players on the Lakers than what the Knicks have going. And, we can look at the Knicks team and they kind of have, lottery picks that, got traded from, it's a kind of a bad sign when there's a lottery pick. And then within 2-3 years, the team that drafted you as a lottery pick trades you. A Markel Fultz on Orlando,
yes.
And he doesn't want to play basketball. And then,
yes.
I've been a fan. I drafted him in my pool, Dennis Smith Jr.
Yeah.
But I've been disappointed. He doesn't shoot well, and he was a small guy.
Yeah.
And he's one of these guys like Isaiah Thomas. If he's not absolutely elite offensively, he's such a liability defensively because
totally.
He just doesn't have the metrics, right?
I agree.
And then they have Emmanuel Mudiay. There is one guy that I am really high on. I like Kevin Knox. I wasn't going to mention him, but Kevin Knox is really good.
Yeah.
He's long and he might be a KD-like game, and especially, obviously, not that level.
Yeah.
But a KD light again, and the potential at least.
Yeah.
And I saw him in Summer League last year, super long arms. He can get dunks. Maybe it's actually more like Giannis in terms of having super long arms.
Yes.
And be able to get to the rack. But Mitchell Robinson, he's a center for the Knicks.
I don't know if you noticed his
block rate is
obscene. I picked him up for that reason, for his block
rate. Obscene.
It's insane how many blocks he was. At some point, it was 3 or 4 blocks a game.
And he's only playing 15, 20 minutes.
That's right, exactly.
That's the thing. Imagine he's playing 30 minutes.
Absolutely.
He could actually average 4 blocks a game.
Absolutely.
He could be the Steph Curry of blocks.
For some reason, his minutes were being regulated. And I think maybe because he was a rookie or he was a, I don't know, whatever it was.
He's an interesting story, actually. So, the one and done, they go play NCAA college.
Yeah.
What he did was very unique. He basically didn't play organized basketball for an entire year. And he just worked on his skill development and worked on working out and stuff for a whole year. So that's why when he came this year, he was super raw. You go from literally not playing basketball. Obviously, he might scrimmage somewhere or
sure.
whatever. But not playing basketball professionally or organized. To going to the NBA. So that's why they really brought him along.
So he wasn't
slow.
Even playing the G League or D League or whatever?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, played his high school and then basically like didn't play basketball or like professionally or organized.
Interesting.
For an entire year. So that's why he was super raw.
Yeah.
But in summer league, he had like better raw numbers than Ayton, than Josh Jackson. Like not shooting, but
yeah,
in terms of rebounding and blocks.
Wow.
And so yeah, I actually ended up taking him in a pool. I kind of reached on him.
Yeah.
And then because he wasn't really playing at all at the beginning of the year, and I got kind of ripped for reaching on him, and then he wasn't playing very much at the beginning of the year, and then I dropped him like an idiot.
Yeah.
And then this guy who was like middling team ends up picking him up halfway through. He ended up winning the championship. So, forever there's going to be like those seeds of regret.
But that's interesting that you bring that up, is because that's also a debate, is, you know, is a one-and-done college year the best thing for athletes, or should they be going down different avenues? Should they be doing a D-League, or should they be doing this player development that you talked about? Because a lot of people would argue that maybe college is not the best for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. And like the thing is, actually, in the approach that he took was very interesting, because I think technically like he would have been probably still eligible for NCAA the next year.
Yeah.
So if say he didn't get drafted, maybe he could have just gone back and played NCAA the next year, right?
Yeah.
So sure, you take the year off or whatever, but you're not risking injury.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a bit of a farce, right? Like that you're actually there for school.
Yeah.
That's just
a joke. The whole school thing is a joke. The sad part about some of the stuff is that, you know, how risky it can be for some of these athletes. A great example, Zion, when he, as you saw, I'm sure everybody saw, he blew out the Nike shoe and, risked almost damaging his knee, and what could have that meant for his career, and what these athletes actually get from college, which is absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's nothing.
It's very little.
I think you got to value experience.
And, you know, you can value it, but can you get that same experience in a more safe way, and maybe in a way that's better for you as opposed to beneficiary for the school?
I agree. I think what you're talking about and what it comes down to is money, right? So I think that they deserve to get paid more. I think if we're going to just look at like the experience in a vacuum, I think there is value there. You know, you get the coaching. Like Zion, you look at it now, he has lifelong friends. We were talking about how we're lucky to have childhood friends. We're childhood friends right here.
That's true.
So we're lucky to have that.
Yeah.
And those memories of playing together and winning together, that sticks with you for a lifetime. So I do think there's value, but I do agree that in terms of who's getting rewarded for the product, the value that's being delivered, entertainment value to the audience.
It's not Zion.
I mean, not yet, at least,
those
right?
Those tickets for UNC versus Duke were going for $1,000 to $2,000 a piece.
But what do you say about, I think somebody said that like if he got drafted last year, I don't know if he would have been a slam dunk first overall pick. And the other thing is last year, I think like he did actually have a lot of like social media hype in high school as well, but would he have gotten offered like the Nike deal that he'll get offered now?
He may
not.
So
there is like some factors and nuance to it.
That's true.
But,
and he did definitely get a lot of airtime and publicity on a national level. So that probably is true. So that's probably gonna factor into his value. But it is crazy how much money we can spend on college sports. We can bet on college sports, and these players really don't see anything.
Yeah, and I think the interesting route is if the NBA somehow allows them to come into the G League and have them play there, and like maybe they can get paid $300,000.
That would be awesome.
Or something like that, and they can just focus on basketball and developing their basketball skills.
Because let's be honest, they're not getting anything for college education. That's just a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be interesting. I mean, again, like I don't know if you can. It'll take time to get the experience up to the level, and I mean, me personally, if Zion is playing in the G League versus NCAA, I'd rather watch a G League game.
Now, me too.
And so, but there are, at the same time, we can't argue that like the market or the is bigger for NCAA, or at least entrenched audience is there,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah,
so I think it is different being in an arena playing with like rabid fan base that everybody's standing and chanting versus, you know, a G League game and Des Moines, Iowa, or whatever.
And maybe that does something
not
for...
Not to disparage, I've never been there.
And maybe that does something for their psyche as well, to be able to maybe hit those big shots in the big crunch situations, because they do have that, you know, real, almost NBA-like atmosphere.
Yeah, and so, coming back to the Knicks, like, I don't know, honestly, you add KD, the current team they have, I don't know if they can do it. Obviously, like, if a few cards fall right, the Zion thing, even if they don't get Zion, like, I think RJ Barrett, you know, could be a good player. There's, like, the Ja Morant as well is in the draft, and I don't think Cam Reddish necessarily is all that great. It's not the deepest draft from what I hear from people like my boy Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, but yeah, like, if they can somehow fall right. But I do think that KD needs Kyrie Irving to join him, and they have a bit of a bromance going that's been well documented.
Yeah.
But my question is, if KD pairs up with Kyrie, will that diminish any cred that KD's going to get, or no, because they're building something together from scratch rather than joining the already established 73-win team and culture?
If KD gets a Kyrie, or, you know, gets another, I'm going to call him a role player, because I don't think Kyrie is the star. I don't think he has what it takes to take a team to the next
level.
As the number one. I don't believe he does. And so, you know,
he could be the number one closer,
though. He can be a number one closer. He can be that key piece. And let's not, you know, let's give him credit where credit is due with the Cavaliers when they made that amazing comeback. He was instrumental. But he is not the main guy. And so if you have a KD and a Kyrie and they go to the finals, that's no different than LeBron and Kyrie. And so that essentially puts KD in that same situation and in that same, you know, conversation as one of the greatest that carries a team to the finals or wins it all. So I really believe if he does pair up with somebody, it's still KD's team.
Right, right. Okay, that's fair. That's interesting. And so I think, I mean, just as an entertainment standpoint, I think as basketball fans, like, we're kind of bored about this whole Warriors thing.
Oh, I am so bored.
It's been like 3 years now.
I foregone conclusions. Houston to knock Golden State on their ass.
I don't know. So, yeah.
I hope they do.
Yeah, we, you know, time is winding down here, but I think we'd be remiss if we weren't going to talk about James Chokarden of the Houston Rockets. And, I haven't actually heard much of your opinion. I'll just quickly share with the listeners that I think James Harden, you know, he's a great regular season player, but playoff player, especially when it comes down to the elimination games. Even in round one, you look at his elimination games, were not his best performances, at least, you know, in the first half, for example, of the last game there. He's a bit of a choke artist, and when he's going to go up against the Warriors that have his number, and he might be fine in game one, he might be fine in game two, but when the game is truly on the line, the series is on the line, he'll have 15 seconds on the clock, down one, ball in his hand, automatic scorer, he'll pass it off.
He's no more of a choke artist than Steph Curry.
Wow.
Okay.
So three rings for Steph. Chef Curry has got three rings.
Chef Curry was gifted two rings by Kevin Durant.
Wow.
Okay, so now listen to me. If you have...
I thought Kevin Durant joined Steph Curry's championship team.
No.
They're Kevin Durant's rings. I'm very confused.
Listen, Kevin Durant joined a very good team, and he also put that team over the hump. He was still the NBA Finals MVP. We've talked about this. Chef Curry and Harden sometimes live and die by the three. Three's going down, they are unstoppable. The three doesn't drop, and they are being called choke artists. So the difference in that series with the Rockets and the Warriors, as you know, is Chris Paul going down. Okay? Chris Paul stays healthy, and I think the Warriors don't win.
I don't know. I mean, I don't agree with you, because we all knew, like, especially last year, that the Warriors had a bit of a switch.
Yeah.
They had an on-off switch.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like when they got down in that series 3-2, everybody in the back of their mind was like, okay, you know, well and good, Houston's up. But we still just suspected the Warriors have that switch. And in fact, they turned on the switch. Now, Chris Paul was a huge factor, and he had to actually lead the charge. But then you're right, he got injured. But who's to say that even if he was still around, the Warriors wouldn't have turned on the switch and they still would have overcome? So I see your point, but that almost illustrates my point, because if the Rockets are going to win, don't you think James Harden should be the best player? Why was Chris Paul having to lead the charge on those? Because James Harden chokes in those big games, and he just doesn't score the same way he does. And the other thing, I'll let you get in there, but we all mock how the refs call James Harden during the regular season. He can travel, he gets fouls at the brain center. But it seems like the refs do kind of tighten up on him in the playoffs. Yeah. And when that starts happening, I think he kind of loses his mind a bit. He kind of doesn't know, like he's living in like a different universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I do agree the officiating does get tightened up a bit and things do change a bit. But I still believe that the Chris Paul injury was a huge factor. I think it's a little bit underrated here. Chris Paul's a really, really good player. And he does things not just scoring, you know, just in terms of just the ability to draw defenders, to spread the floor. And I think it's just going to be this is a series everybody wants to see. We all want to see the Houston Golden State. We don't even really care about the finals. We want to see this series. So I'm really happy.
This is basically the finals, round two. Which absolutely. Kind of a shame, but at the same time, you know, bring some hypeness to it.
Absolutely. So we're all excited for this. The whole, you know, the first round was just foreplay and the real playoffs begin now.
It's going to be like raining threes. And I think we were talking about the new, era of basketball and the game, the way it's played today, and this is once again going to be kind of highlighting all those aspects.
Yeah.
So, you know, who do you have in that series? Who do you think is going to win that one?
You know what? I probably still think the Golden State Warriors are just a little bit too much firepower for the
Rockets. Even without DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie is out. He's done.
Boogie was a non-factor. Come on. This whole Klay Thompson of like, you know, we need Boogie to win a championship. That's just bullshit. Come on.
But I mean, you can't. It was nice. It was nice to have him and they could throw a big body in there. It was nice to
have
a sixth
All-Star. I mean, you have five All-Stars. It was nice to have a sixth one. So that was good for you guys.
No, four and then five.
Yeah, whatever. And, you know, I think that... They have a little bit too much. I think you're right. The Warriors have that extra switch that they can turn on. But you know what? I'm going to be bold and I'm going to say, you know what? Rockets in seven.
Wow. Mark it down. Put it in your calendars. So the Rockets in seven. We'll quickly go through the other series. So, you know, Raptors, Sixers, who do you got in that one?
You know what? My heart is the Raps, but... I don't know. When the 76ers are playing well together as a team, they can beat almost anybody. So, it'll be interesting to see. But you know what? I'm still going to go with Raps in seven.
Wow. Okay. So you're going to still go with the Raptors? You're
still going
with the
Raptors.
Yeah. So I'll say, like, I think the Warriors are going to take it in six, actually. And, you know, for the reasons I explained, choke Harden. And then, I think the Raptors definitely, I think they're a better team. And I think there's a bit of a clash going on between Simmons and Embiid.
Yeah.
And Simmons isn't really at like his best unless Embiid is out of the game, in my opinion.
I agree.
And I'm very frustrated with Simmons in general. Just like, you play basketball your whole life. Like, you ever thought to just shoot a jump shot? Like, what do you do when you're playing by yourself? So, there's something going on there that, you know, it's just so hard to kind of make that happen.
And have you not been impressed with playoff Kawhi?
And that's the thing. Playoff Kawhi has been very good.
Very impressive.
And Kyle Lowry, like, he can have these dud games, but they can still win because they have the Van Vliet to back him up. Yeah. Norman Powell has emerged.
Yeah.
You were waxing poetic of Pascal Siakam.
He's KD Light.
And his scoring average is increased in the playoffs.
That's right.
And then we have Kawhi, you know, finals MVP.
Yeah.
And I think he's all business. And yeah.
But you know, I have to be honest.
It sucks not having OG Anunoby, but the Raptors, I think, are so deep.
But I don't think anyone has an answer for Giannis.
Yeah. So, but this series, though, we think the Raptors. I just think the Sixers are, they don't have, sometimes you need kind of those smaller guards. And JJ Redick, you know, I love him. He's got a podcast and stuff, but... you know, he can kind of run pretty hot and cold with a three-pointer.
100%.
So I think the Raptors, so the other series, but I don't know if Boston's going to be so easy for Giannis as well. Like, they have a lot of talent to match up.
Who's going to stop him?
I mean, I guess they say, like, Al Horford, he's good defensively.
I don't think so.
Or Thies is another guy they have.
Bucks are going to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I think they're going to the Finals.
You think they're going to the Finals?
They're going to the Finals.
Wow. Okay, so you got Bucks in that one. Yeah, I don't know. I want to say Celtics. Like, I think that Celtics, it's weird. And, like, Bill Simmons always, like, kind of downplays any Boston team's chances. And it's like the reverse jinx all the time. And I smell it a mile away. And the Celtics, they've been, they were, people talked about how good of a team they have, and Gordon Hayward is starting to kind of come back to what he was. And I don't think Tatum and Brown are at full power, but Kyrie is a killer as well.
I haven't seen
Giannis in like a closing shot. Like, can you throw it to Giannis, you know, with 5 seconds on the clock and him to get a bucket or what?
I don't know. I guess we're just gonna wait and see. I guess he just hasn't been in that situation.
That's the thing. Like, There is something unproven there, right? Yeah. So I'm gonna go with the Celtics, and not to say Giannis isn't gonna reach those heights in the future. But I'm a firm believer that these young elite talents and young elite teams kind of need to experience some hardship and some heartache before they can kind of get over the top.
Yeah. I mean, really what happens in the NBA is that the first round is just useless. And really the real playoffs, it's kind of like the NHL where the playoffs have, you know, they start off right away.
Yeah.
The NBA playoffs start now.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's actually like the... It's a bit of a reverse because the NHL, it's like all these, like all the underdogs won.
All the underdogs
won. So all the contenders are gone. Whereas in NBA, all the contenders won and it gets more concentrated.
But I think it just goes to speak to the NHL in terms of really the separation between the great and the pretty good is not that much.
Yeah.
Whereas with the NBA, the disparity is still quite a bit between the top and the lowest seeded teams.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to like the matchups as well. And It is interesting how NBA, the odds-on favorite usually comes out on top. The other series, unfortunately, we don't know yet. I think the Spurs and the
Nuggets is Nuggets still, is going still to game have seven. To play game I seven have to say, tomorrow. I'm surprised that the Nuggets are struggling so much after such a great regular season campaign. But I guess that also speaks to the testament of Greg Popovich.
Yeah, and the thing I find interesting is as a Raptors fan, DeRozan, you know, obviously has been much maligned for his playoff performances, but I don't know if he's lighting the world on fire, but it seems like he's okay this playoff.
He's doing good, but
I think
you're forgetting.
So what happened? Like, why is he figured? Has he figured it out?
It's not that he's figured it out, but I think you have to really, honestly, give Greg Popovich a lot of credit. He's one of the greatest coaches in the NBA, and LaMarcus Aldridge is on fire.
Yeah.
He is unbelievable.
And I love how Popovich is like, okay, the game's going to go to three-pointers. He's like, no, screw this. We're going to dominate you with like the mid-range game.
Absolutely.
And he's finding a way to make it work.
He works with his team. He works with what he has. And he's getting it done against a very good Denver Nuggets team.
Yeah, and I think Denver is, again, it's one of those teams that's a young team. Yeah. And really like Jamal Murray. But still only 21, 22 years old, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They still have a lot of upside. But, regardless of who wins, they're not getting past the second round.
You don't think so? So you like the Blazers. It's Dame time.
It is
Dame. We should talk about that. That was magical the other night.
Time to shine. I love CJ McCollum. Enes Kanter has come in and played really well as well. This Portland team is really fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. And, you know, they don't even have Nurkic, like one of their third best player, basically.
Absolutely. You know, he got injured in that devastating injury. And, but I still think... this is a team that, you know what, it's Dame's time to shine, and I think they're getting passed into the third round.
Yeah, and you know what's really cool, like this day and age and the way the NBA is going is CJ McCollum actually has a great podcast, the Pull Up Pod, and I listen to it off and on, but he actually had, the day after that he hit the shot, he had Damian Lillard on his podcast.
I saw that.
Lillard and CJ McCollum are talking on a podcast about the entire thing, what Paul George said afterwards.
I love it. And
the
whole
play, what he said in his mind, what happened when he decided to make the play at like the seven-second mark. Like,
and I think you made a great comment because you said the NHL needs to do this.
Yes.
And I think that's really, you know what, you know, kind of changing topics a bit, but the whole NBA, the vibe, what Adam Silver has done, they have just done a great job of marketing to the fans and making this a much more popular sport.
Yeah, and it just makes it more accessible to the
Absolutely.
Fan, right? Like,
Absolutely.
You know, we want to know what they're doing, and I think it's antiquated having the reporters sit in the locker room and ask these questions, and you get these canned answers, and any answer that's not a canned answer is, like, considered far out. Whereas this is just raw, like...
This is real.
You know, Paul George said it was a bad shot. Well, you play bad defense, bro. Why don't you step up then, right? And we get the whole narrative, right?
And you know what? And that just goes back to, you know what? It's not a bad shot. You break down the numbers. His percentage from 30 to 40 feet is the same as the average NBA three-point shot.
Yeah, exactly. And he was, like, I think in the playoffs, like, 4 for 6 from that range, like, between 30 and 40 feet. So.
And we've seen Steph do this as well against that, you know, final, the overtime game against OKC, where he just went past midcourt and launched that three and ended the game. And you knew it was going in.
Yeah.
And you had that same feeling about Dame.
And on the pod, like, Dame was saying, like, he practices this. Yeah. Like, he does it often. Like, he's repeated it. It's not like he just tried it all of a sudden in the moment at the time. And the other thing, too, is like the game was tied. Like, it's not like they were down one.
Absolutely.
And you know,
different
he was
shot. Different
risking
shot.
The whole thing. And
nope.
You know, he wanted to send a message. And you
worst
know,
case scenario, this game goes to overtime.
Yeah, exactly. And then he can carry it from there. So I am actually rooting for the Blazers as well.
Yeah.
Our good friend JD Canungo, a frequent contributor to this podcast, often bugs me the multiple teams I guess I'm rooting for. I got the Blazers in the West and the Raptors in the East.
Listen, you know what? That's what makes the NBA a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm cheering for players. I like Lillard. I like McCollum. Obviously, the Canadian factor with the Raptors. And yeah, NBA is really exciting. And yeah, this is great. We got a bonus pod for the Friends with Opinions podcast.
Well, yeah.
Maybe a change of an era, potentially. But I really appreciate you coming on the pod, Varun.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks
it was
for
really
me.
Great. And thanks for listening.
Thanks so much, buddy.